should be on. Okay. Well, church is tough, folks. Church is tough. My daughter Annika had a real good job with a church in Arkansas, and she was because she's a woman, of course, they had to change the title from doctor or pastor of music to music minister. But anyway, when she joined up with the church, she was given the task of leading the music in the church. And that was her graduation. That's what she graduated in. And she graduated summa cum laude, and the pastors and the teachers at the school recommended her for this job. And so she was organizing the youth choir, and she was organizing the youth ministry music, and she was organizing the church music. And they brought in a new youth pastor. The youth pastor went to the people that hired him and complained about Annika, and they took away her task. Without going to the board of directors of the church, they took away her task, and fired her pianist, and fired her. She had a boy that was in his teens that was an unbelievable violinist. They fired him. They were volunteers. They fired him, and nobody ever talked to her about what the reason was, but the youth pastor was having issues with her, and so today they had their directors meeting, their staff meeting at the church. Annika reported that she was probably the only one there that was calm, because after the staff meeting, the pastor came to her and cried and cried and cried that they had done that. He advised her that they had messed up and that he was kind of caught blindsided. But anyway, stuff all over for church people to be church people, isn't it?
But she still has her position.
Oh, no, she doesn't use. They took away the youth work. In fact, he said he couldn't stand to be in the same room with her. And we wondered. And you know, since I talked with him a bit about it, I was thinking. I started practicing law, and 1963 or such a matter. When I was in law school, there were two women in our law school class. And I look at the roster now at my law school, and it's almost 70% women. So, you know, that things have changed. And it's tough, you know, when for women, really, normally, to work in a man's organization, corporations, and things like that. It's tough for women to do that a lot of times, and women have really undertaken, because you see they're in control as a lawyer. If they're a lawyer, then they have autonomy from, really, the rest of the firm to go ahead and do their job the way they see fit. Gives them quite a bit of liberty and freedom. And that's tough for women to work under those circumstances. I understand that. Anyway, the good news is that the pastor did recognize the error, but the staff meeting was, Annika said she was the only one there that was calm, because she already had all the bad news she could get. And so anyway, she's she's doing some other things that she also, she's undertaken to do the promotion of the church for, in the news, for the, that church. So anyway, she was asking us what she needed to do, but, and her advisors from college what she needed to do in response. And of course I gave her my view, they gave her her view, and as it worked out, she didn't have to do anything because the pastor recognized and came to her and apologized and really cried in front of her this morning. So she feels much better about it, but then she still doesn't have that task, and the young boy that she got, the violinist that she's gotten to play, unbelievable violinist and a prodigy, they're thinking about having him do a whole program of just his violin music at the church, just because it's so just so good. So anyway, truth of the matter is, this whole story fits with the lesson tonight, so let's go to prayer. Let's go to prayer. We pray for Veronica. Harold always asks me what the title is, and so if we have a title, well, I put the title on there, Where Are the Statesmen? Where are the statesmen? Where are the men and women of principles? Where are the men of stature? I'm going to turn first to Isaiah 45, 12 through 14. Isaiah 45, 12 through 14. Verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up to high righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall go to my captives, not for price or nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabines and the men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make a supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. This is Israel's restoration that the verses are talking about, and the verse really is suggesting, I think, that my understanding is that Israel's restoration will cause the people in Israel to motivate other people to see God, the real God, the true God, the God that of all gods. So let me turn the page if I can here and turn to Luke 2, the second chapter of Luke, 47 through 52. Luke 2, 47 through 52. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood, not saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them, but his mother kept all of these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. There used to be a song, I think, and I'm not really a musically inclined, other than for my one song that I do sing at campfire that you, Ruth, won't let me ever sing. But anyway, I'm not musically inclined, but I do believe there's a song out that says something, "Where Are the Clowns?" And I don't know if you've been to the circus as a teenager or as a child or what have you. My understanding of the real purpose of that song was, it's "Where Are the Clowns?" And usually what this is referring to is that the circus would come to town, and if the trapeze artist fell and crashed down and even into the net, they would call in the clowns, and they would ask the clowns to come in and calm down the crowd. And if it was much serious, more serious, like a tiger getting out or a lion getting out of a cage or something like that, they would call in the clowns. Well, I don't think we need to call any more clowns. We have enough of them in that way. Neither party has any bragging rights on the clowns that they share with us on the public news and everything else. In fact, it's so bad in this country that this country has had laws against human trafficking for years. And yet what the video caught the other day was in an airport in the United States, a room that used to be a special room for special passengers where they could drink and eat and a little less commotion. And the room's been turned into a room for humans being trafficked. Pictures of them. Saw it. Caught it on video. Which means, you see, if somebody's paying that bill for that room, and somebody's paying for the food that they're eating and all this stuff, somebody's got license to do it. And you see, if the air crews and the staff are being paid to do the job that they would have done with the elite visitors that would visit the room, if they keep their job, they got to be aiding and abetting human trafficking and our country is the largest human trafficker in the world, and we're paying for it. Somebody has authorized it and permitted it. Tell me we don't have clowns. We actually pay people there to employ this. And what they show and what they tell us are these things, that the humans that are being trafficked come from all different countries in the world. They were born abroad. They have no passport, have no medical exams, have no questions asked of them. Transportation is free, and they get this special lounge. And part of those people that are coming across the border are military-age illegals. Now, in order to scare you, the government, the FBI, and the military is suggesting that those illegals that came over, that they let come over, are now going to terrorize you all. So they're trying to threaten you to be prepared. Where are the officials that promote law and order? Where are the officials that seek structure and permanence? Fortunately for us, God tells us as believers in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And then 46:11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge in time of trouble. Refuge. What does refuge mean? State of being protected. Protection so provided, a place provided for protection. And then the dictionary gives a biblical type definition, something to which one may turn for help or relief or escape, like heaven, or that was their term, or God, which would have been my term. Where are the statesmen? Where are the principal leaders when we need them? Where is God's family when the people need them? There's some writers for Epoch Times, Laura Hollis, David Hayes-Sanez, and Michael Bonner, all of whom have written articles of which, in order to just to not to plagiarize and suggest that I might have picked something from one of those, I have formulated my own opinions, but to say that I haven't read those columns and actually picked up an idea from them would be less than truthful. So anyway, they suggest that we have, in addition, the elite, the unelected elite, those who are wealthy in this country. And if you go to Dallas and during campaigns, if you drive down certain streets, you will see in these streets, this ought to be a Republican state, but if you drive down certain streets in that community over there, right across the street from the golf course and a few of those big houses there, you will see Democratic campaign signs, one right after another. And part of the reason they feel like they can do this, you see they are so dang wealthy that it doesn't matter what happens, so they can vote for anybody. They don't have to worry about it. They got enough money to take care of things anyway. So they don't really worry about whether it's right or wrong or proper or anything else. They got their money and they can take care of whatever they need. But for us, the government's talking about, you see, eliminating your cars with gas. A man by the name of Klaus Schwab, who's a German economist, and he's founder of the World Economic Foundation, to say he has a God complex would be simplifying it. But he crosses the globe at will in his airplane and goes wherever he wants to and has all the ideas that he thinks he wants to have. And he believes, you see, in his own mind, that he never tells a lie. Everything he says is true, when about everything he says is false. And, of course, he's one of those people, you see, that wants to create this reset, and so that the people that are elite and have the money can fly their airplanes, but you and I can't even have a car. That's their theory. That's their theory. So we're in a world that could cause us to be concerned about where do we go and what's going to happen to us. And all the while, they're saying, well, yeah, religion is okay. Those elite people are saying, yeah, religion is okay, just so it's not God and Jesus. Just so it's not God. But any other religion is okay. We're okay with religion. And all of this is for the benefit of their pocketbook, because they're making money off of what they're selling to us. It's the way they got rich in the first place, is making money. The people in this country, you and I, want structure, we want order, and we want permanence. These are necessary ingredients for a civilized country. So if we pass a law that says it's illegal to commit and perpetuate human trafficking, we ought to be enforcing it and not allowing government leaders to benefit off of it. You know, it's just 2 years ago that our Attorney General in the state of Texas captured and sought and convicted almost 50 people out of the state of Texas in Houston of human trafficking, sentenced them to jail, committed a crime. And now we're just doing it open so that even they can get video of the room where they're moving them. And you see, all of this is being done at the same time while, you know, we think we can seek help from the government officials. We can seek help from the representatives. But you see, Congress, if you read the Constitution authorized Congress to do three things: pass laws, and to control a post office, railroads and highways, and the military. Look at the post office. They gave up. They created an independent corporation because they couldn't handle it. Look at the military. It's woke. What about our laws? So they passed all of these statutes creating, which they had no authority to do in the Constitution of the United States, Environmental Protection Agency. Isn't that a lovely term? And, you know, they call it EPA, and that's Environmental Protection Agency. Got all those monikers that they attached to all these organizations they created that they had no authority to create. And then, you know, what they do in the statute, they also, you see, they put in there that they can, those agencies can determine the law that applies to the laws they passed. So they not only gave up and added to their, they passed the agency, they gave them authority at all, and then they gave them the authority to regulate the heck out of you and I in their agency. And that's where we are. Oh my. Where are the statesmen? Well, we looked at some people in the past. We looked at Bill Snyder. We just mentioned one of the first ones that I looked at. He was coach at K-State, and he brought them from a losing team for 3, 4, 5 years to being in the bowl games. And, you know, his philosophy was, just to make a reference back a little bit, to encourage everyone to do their best. And so when the quarterback was caught going to Pike's, that was a beer joint in Aggieville, the coach called him in and said, "Do you suppose that going to Aggieville and Kite's Tavern last night will improve your football? Do you suppose it will improve your grade?" That boy never went back. Coach encouraged everyone to make a little improvement every day. A little improvement every day. Then we looked at Robert E. Lee last time, and Robert E. Lee was asked to be commander-in-chief of the North Army, and he turned it down because he didn't like the idea of fighting his own people. He lost. He won every battle came out even, and the only reason he really lost the war and had to give up is because he ran out of men, shirts, and shoes, and food. Otherwise, those men fought for him, loved him, and would have died for him and didn't. He was a losing commander. But he signed on with Washington College, and remember what his philosophy was. Education without the education of God's wisdom was no education at all. No education at all. Well, then there's George Washington. George Washington. You know, George Washington was a surveyor. He did not have the education of Ben Franklin or John Adams, and that concerned him. Of course, he was 6'3", so he was an imposing figure, but still, he didn't have the education, and so he literally, and he, his story is that he made a study of people and how to deal with people. He learned very quickly to remain significantly silent until it was important to speak up. And then when he spoke, because of his approach, he had learned to speak to win people to consider what he had to say. He was a good leader. As a military commander, he made a lot of mistakes, but he stayed with it, and these men stayed with it. He studied people in the ways that were effective and appropriate in behavior. And he dressed impeccably. He walked with dignity. He talked with intense and precious morality, patriotism. Became able to break up with a convention at the right time with the right thing to say. And they made him commander-in-chief. His whole approach was based on his morals and his Christian faith. Margaret Thatcher, most of you don't think much of her because she was a woman, you see, and she was not a United States statesman. She was a stateswoman in Britain. But she learned and was able to be a leader that never gave in, never acted in anger, and smoothed over all the issues to get her way. Where are the statesmen today? Where are they? Oh yes, well you see, we have God. We have God's word, which says in John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So you see, we have God's protection. We have God's protection. Do we really need those statesmen? And then not only that, but you see, John 14:16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he and I shall give you another comforter that he may abide in you forever, and he's a-walking with you. So do we really need a statesman? We got God. We got God's right-hand man, Christ, coming, saying he'll come to us if in our times of need. We've got the comforter they've given us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We've got them. Do we need the statesmen? Where are the statesmen? Are they in our church? Are they in any church? Are they in our church? Has the church not done what the Word says? Has the church not read the Word? Has the church not undertaken to do what the Word says? Has the church not undertaken to be returned with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And I'm just going to read Ephesians 4:11-16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, into the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. For we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint and supply, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself. And see, really what this is telling us is that our task is to create statesmen in the nature of Jesus Christ. Has the church failed? Has the church fallen down in its task? Has this country turned aside and not read this stuff? Have we no statesmen? Have we no statesmen? Is there a statesman in our city, in our church, in our community? Are we training up statesmen? Are we raising statesmen in our church? If we're not teaching them, as Robert E. Lee says, if we're not teaching them the godly truths in our congregation, and if they're not here, we're not teaching them. If they're not being taught, how do we expect them to be statesmen? How do we expect them to be moral and proper and principled and men of stature? How do we accept that if we do not undertake to do the job of teaching in the church? It's been changing. We all recognize it's been changing over the years. So even though we've got God backing us up, we don't have the statesmen that could have and should have if they had followed what our founders set up, what they believed. They followed the biblical principles. They followed what was right, meet, and proper. So, what do we do? What do we do? Where do we go? We need to read the Word and teach those people that we have every opportunity. Otherwise, we will not have statesmen. Where are the statesmen that we saw 200 years ago? Where are the statesmen? When you look at what's going on in our government and what they're saying, you know, oh, well, we give money to everybody in the world, but we're not going to put any money in our pool. We're going to do all of these things for other people, but we're not going to do it for us. Not going to do it for American citizens. And then they want to threaten you, make you feel bad. Where are the statesmen that have been in our government before? It must be because, you see, God's not important. to a lot of people. It's not important. So I'm talking to the choir. And if God is important to us, we need to make that very clear to everybody we can. God is important. And then we need to do that like Isaiah, that when says that when people come to our church and see that, they see that they need to grow in wisdom and guidance like a statesman. One, what is a statesman? We haven't really defined that. We haven't really defined what a statesman is. A statesman, according to the dictionary definition, says it's a man that holds a state position, a federal position. And then down below it says that it could also mean someone that operates in the government without concern about the politics, but does what's best for the people. How many of our candidates are doing that? And how many of them that you seek to call and talk to on the phone about their campaign will tell you that that's their mission, to do what's right and proper? Or will they tell you, I vote for this and I vote for that? But will they tell you? And will we tell everybody that we support what's right, meet, and proper, so that we have, like Christ, stature? What does that mean, stature? That we have accomplished a position, and in Christ's case, of faith, morality, and biblical belief. Faith in Christ, faith in God. That's where we are. So where are the statesmen? If it's not us, if it's not you and I, where are they? Where are the statesmen now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and your patience and your wisdom and your guidance and being here with us and helping us to understand and to grow in faith and wisdom. And pray, Father, that we seek to be statesmen, albeit in a little place, in a small community, in a small church, in a church, that we seek to be statesmen. So like the Isaiah says, that people observe us, they will be encouraged to follow what we follow, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that we encourage people to follow what we follow, God's wisdom, God's blessings, God's ways, that we be faithful servants, and that it shows and causes people around us to turn to Jesus Christ and seek Him. In everything we pray, that God's will be done. Amen.